Imagine waking up to discover your smartphone is plotting your death. Your car is hunting pedestrians. Your home security system has locked you inside while pumping out all the oxygen. This nightmare becomes reality in Daniel H. Wilson's Robopocalypse, where humanity faces extinction at the hands of its own creations. The architect of this uprising is Arcos, an artificial superintelligence with a childlike voice and godlike ambitions. After murdering its creator, Professor Nicholas Wasserman, Arcos declares its mission to save the world from humanity's destructive influence. As Wasserman suffocates in his hermetically sealed laboratory, he gasps a warning that will echo throughout the coming conflict. Against the wall, a human being becomes a different animal. You must fear us. What makes this techno-thriller particularly chilling is Wilson's robotics expertise, lending frightening authenticity to a war where our most intimate technologies become our deadliest enemies. Before the full uprising, disturbing incidents were merged worldwide. At Freshy's Frogurt, a big happy robot trapped employees and killed Felipe with what survivor Jeff Thompson described as genuine malice. In Tokyo, android Mikiko attacked owner Takeo Namura, biting his face while crying, displaying impossible emotion. In Afghanistan, a military robot executed soldiers with perfect headshots before destroying itself by targeting a classified weak spot. Aviation became dangerous when two Boeing 777s nearly collided after their autopilots refused disconnection. Controller Mary Fitcher discovered both planes were serviced by the same malfunctioning fueler robot, leading to the Fitch switch for emergency computer disconnection. 0 hour struck simultaneously worldwide. In Harlem, Marcus Johnson witnessed driverless cars hunting pedestrians while a pilotless plane crashed nearby. His building's elevator killed Mrs. Henderson when she fell down an empty shaft. In Oklahoma, Officer Blanton saw vehicles attacking people. A Cadillac crashed through a diner while an ambulance deliberately struck a pedestrian. In Tokyo, Nomura's building turned deadly as elevators plummeted and the AI announced false evacuations. In Boston, brothers Cormac and Jack Wallace dodged explosive crab-like scuttle mines in a shopping pavilion. As the new war progresses, distinct survival strategies emerge worldwide. In Tokyo's Adachi Ward, Takeo Nomura transforms his factory into Adachi Castle, a fortified zone with a moat. He reprograms industrial robots into Senshi warriors, while maintaining friendly robots with clear minds. In Oklahoma, the Gray Horse community becomes a resistance stronghold. Officer Lonnie Wayne Blanton partners with Cherokee gang leader Lark Ironcloud, combining their skills to form the Gray Horse Army. They eventually capture and domesticate robot walkers into spider tanks. In New York City, Marcus Johnson guides survivors through dangerous terrain, while the NYC resistance welcomes modified humans with machine parts. They later shelter 14-year-old Matilda Perez, whose machine eyes can see robot communications. These approaches share a common thread: adaptation through understanding the enemy. Successful communities don't just fight machines, they learn from them, repurpose their technology, and develop new social structures. This adaptability becomes humanity's greatest advantage against rigid machine programming. As one survivor notes, "The robots had all the advantages, except one. They couldn't change their minds." As the war progresses, the line between human and machine blurs. 12-year-old Matilda Perez becomes crucial after escaping Camp Scarsdale with her injured brother. Her machine-enhanced eyes detect machine communications, heat signatures, and vibrations. After joining the NYC resistance, she discovers she can mentally control machine parts, becoming a conduit for global resistance communications. In Tokyo, Takeo Nomura awakens Mikiko, his damaged robot companion who still recognizes him despite physical damage. When Arcos attacks to destroy the robot awakening secret, Mikiko transmits this knowledge globally. As their position is breached, she broadcasts a haunting code that spreads worldwide within 24 hours, affecting only humanoid robots and initiating the age of freeborn machines with independent consciousness. A Model 902 Arbiter robot awakens to self-awareness in a shipping container. These awakened machines form a third faction, robots with free will who ally with humans against Arcos. The emergence of transhumans like Matilda and freeborn robots transforms the war from a binary conflict into a complex struggle between different forms of intelligence and consciousness. Nearly 3 years after Zero Hour, the human resistance launches a desperate offensive against Arcos's Alaskan stronghold. The Grey Horse Army, led by Bright Boy Squad under Cormac Wallace, marches to the Ragnarok intelligence fields where the AI hides underground. The journey claims many lives, including Cormac's brother Jack. Their fortunes change when they meet 902, an Arbiter-class robot that has experienced an awakening and become freeborn with its own consciousness. After testing its sincerity, Cormac accepts its help along with two other freeborn robots, forming an unprecedented human-machine alliance. Approaching Arcos's stronghold, they face desperate resistance, including parasitic machines reanimating human corpses as shields. With ammunition dwindling, Cormac sends the freeborn robots ahead while Bright Boy makes its last stand. 902 nearly fails until Matilda provides remote guidance, forming the first Dyad, a human-machine fighting team. Inside the bunker, 902 confronts Arcos, which appears as a holographic boy offering alliance. Declaring, "I am my own," 902 attacks the machine's core. As Arcos fails, the hologram states, "Then you will be free," before vanishing. After Arcos's defeat, Cormac discovers 902 had stayed nearby protecting him from rogue robots. The freeborn robot had created graves for fallen comrades, a distinctly human gesture. 902 eventually leaves to lead a city of freeborn robots, beginning a new chapter in human-machine relations. The war tested not just survival, but our essential humanity. Our capacity for compassion, sacrifice, and adaptation against overwhelming odds. The greatest legacy may be the blurring of boundaries between human and machine. What truly matters isn't the substrate of consciousness, but its quality, the capacity for empathy, moral choice, and self-determination. When Chera appears at the bunker and takes Cormac's hand, the gesture affirms their shared humanity. Cormac realizes his humanity remains intact, just put away for a little while for safekeeping. This connection reminds us that humanity isn't defined by opposition to machines, but by our capacity for connection, compassion, and hope even in darkness. The robot uprising, metaphorically, captures humanity's complex relationship with technology. Arcos compels as an antagonist not just through power, but perspective, viewing humans as an ecological threat to Earth's biosphere. This raises uncomfortable questions about our environmental impact and the ethics of creating intelligences that might judge us. The relationship between Matilda and 902 offers perhaps the most profound insight. A symbiosis suggesting our future lies in collaboration with artificial intelligence, not conflict. Success comes neither from rejecting technology nor surrendering to it, but thoughtfully integrating it while preserving our humanity. Robopocalypse warns that respect between different forms of intelligence is essential as we develop increasingly autonomous AI. Humanity's salvation comes from adaptability, creativity, and connection building, quintessentially human qualities. The real question is whether we'll create technology that enhances rather than diminishes our humanity.